And that'll be like, I like the park.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
It's also pretty great that scat refers to poop.
You look nice today. A Journal of Emotional Hygiene.
So I keep this file of You Look Nice Today conversation topic ideas. And truthfully, we haven't really gone to it in a long time just because we end up talking about whatever we end up talking about. But I was looking at it, and I'm kind of sad because it's like 300 things long.
Let's do them. Let's do them all tonight. 8-hour recording.
I got nowhere to be. I would just, as to the extent possible, I would like to close as much business as we can in this meeting. I don't know if we have a quorum.
Yeah, fair enough. Absolutely. Well, I guess we could talk about the financials first. We ended $32,000 in the hole.
That's easily the deepest into a hole that I've ever been.
Not a money-making venture, as it turns out.
No.
What have we been doing? Can I go kill my dogs for a second?
Listen to your goddamn dogs. To be fair, 10,000 of that was spent on training your three dogs not to bark. Adam, I don't think we had a dog update from you, actually. You have two now, right?
They're two. They're terrible.
Okay.
I had one before. He was terrible. Now there's two, and they're terrible. Awful. I don't need them anymore.
No, that's true. Are they terrible together? Do they, like, get together and make it more terrible because there's two of them?
Well, they're both easily agitated, but one sometimes forgets to be agitated, and the other one reminds it.
That just made me think of, for whatever reason, two Merlins in a very small room. You would just be like those two, or the tiger in that racist book, You Turn to Butter.
No, I agree with you. I would make a terrible dog. I mean, I'm already so much like a dog. You know, there's like dog people and cat people, not just in terms of their affiliation and orientation, if I could say. But just, you know, there's the cat people. Adam, I think as much as he owns, or excuse me, companions dogs, I think Adam is a very cat-like person.
Interesting.
And Scott, well, let me ask you this. Which of us wants to make the waitress like us? It's not Adam.
Oh, good point.
Very doggy thing to do.
Huh. Adam will sort of, like, find a sunny corner of the restaurant and kind of sit
slowly clean himself.
And he'll end up being the one who accepts the most, you know, awes and cutes and pets from the waitresses. And meanwhile, the two of us are sitting at the table that we think is most convenient for them, bussing our own water glasses and making jokes the whole time.
I always felt like a cat fell somewhere between a dog and a goldfish, where it's got, like, all of the vet bills of a dog and all of the personal affection of a fish. And mostly a cat lives to have someone around to ignore, which I think is very much like Adam. I think you got to approach it real slowly and keep your hands away from his mouth.
Oh, definitely.
And just give him some kibble, a little bit of kibble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he always makes me a little allergic.
It's a dander.
I'm a dog, guys. Come, I'm a dog.
You think, oh, really?
Can't I be a dog? I want to be a dog.
Can I be a dog?
This is important to me.
I want to be a dog.
Awkward cake.
Adam, is everything okay there?
I don't think. Let me go check on the baby. Hold on.
Did Adam know they were going to have a baby when he got a second dog?
Oh, that's a good question. I think they did.
See, that doesn't add up.
Or at the very least, I think they had begun to plan on it.
But did he just not know what he was getting into?
You know, everybody makes that mistake. You always get too many dogs before you have a baby. Usually that too many dogs number is one.
Yeah.
But I think in their case, they're two over the max.
But it's kind of like knowing that you're going to go to a buffet and then going to two more buffets.
Yeah, it's like going into a buffet and outside on the street, there's like a guy selling hot dogs.
And you buy two of his dogs. Adam, is the baby okay?
He's fine. Apparently they were barking at me and I didn't even know. They got the collar. Both of them got the collar, so they should be better behaved right now.
They got the collar. Is that one of those dog whisperer things? What is that?
It means there's something that somebody, a friend, recommended to us called the Citronella collar. And what it does is it has a little microphone that listens for them to bark. And when they bark, it sprays a little bit of Citronella that they hate.
No way.
Yeah, but for us, it's like a Roomba. It's like a roaming air freshener.
Oh, wonderful.
It's lovely.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you don't use it all the time. It's just when they deserve it.
Yeah, when I'm pee casting.
Right, right.
God, first of all, Adam, that is just so fucking Byzantine. What a bizarre solution to a really minor problem. But I have to say, I really, really like it. And now I'm wondering if there are applications for that to the people in my life.
I was just thinking, if whenever I said something that was subtly mean, just a little tsst of man's body odor.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little tsst, just a tsst.
Yeah, a little bit of like pho meets like Subway seat. It just reminds, you know what, Scott, it keeps you centered. It reminds you who you are.
And dogs love that smell, so it doesn't bother them.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea, and I have to say, I know it's a little late in the game for us to come up with a way to make a little dough, but as you know, Scott Adam is a very, very smart guy, and he bought Citronella on a dog collar. So I'm just guessing there's got to be a market out there for people who want things to stop doing things. So maybe there's the collar, and maybe there's an apparatus for helping you permanently or temporarily attach the collar.
What if I bet you could combine it with your electronic cigarettes and...
To make the dog look like a wizard.
Well, I think that maybe to smoke, don't you like press a button or something on your electronic cigarette?
In a lot of them, yes.
You press a button. Instead of getting a release of nicotine, it just sprays you in the face.
with pepper spray. It's called pepper spray.
Yeah.
Oh. I like the idea. It's just a bottle of pepper spray with just on the outside says e-cigarette.
Smoking cessation pepper. Well, you know, the dogs in my life have always done that thing where you're driving around in the car and you get anywhere near the block that their vet is located on and the dog starts completely freaking out. I mean, even after like one or two visits to the vet, I mean, there's an association, really? The conditioning. So yeah. Does Diggy and Diggy 2, do they see the collar coming?
Yeah, they kind of back away. It was funny to watch them sort of be entrained to it, like the way it works, is they can't figure it out at first. At first, it's wizardry. There's no correlation to what they, you know, to their barking. So they're just like, "Roots, fuck, what the hell was that?" They don't know.
So yeah. You don't have a remote control. It's totally voice activated. It's like Siri for cessation.
Yeah. And occasionally, I'm not going to lie, it'll spray without having been barked at.
Yeah, that's how gambling works. If you don't mix it up a little bit, they stop dropping quarters in.
Is this bad? Am I going to get letters from the Humane Society?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's certainly much more humane than other techniques, just physical pain techniques that have been used in the past. You know,
right.
Rolled up newspapers, your choke collars, things like that are terrible.
Yeah.
Clearly it works so that they don't have to get the tss as much anymore.
Yeah. I wish there was an equivalent of that we could understand of when a dog goes, "Ah, fuck."
Well, God bless you. I think it's something that a lot of, I mean, I know there's like shock, like ankle things you can get and shock, like maybe this is just some comics, but I'm pretty sure you can put things on people that will shock them, you know, to make them stop doing something.
Yes.
So maybe Scott could get something like that for his balls that would help him stop doing that those things that he does.
Saying mean things.
Saying mean things to my balls. Shut up, you.
Here's the thing. Like, Scott sees that coming and goes, "Oh, someone's going to interact with my balls." Right? So on the face of it, you see that coming,
yeah.
So to speak. And you know that could be a good thing. Maybe it sometimes gives you like a light massage. But then other times it's squirts Citronella at your cock. I don't know. I can't come up with all of it. But I have habits I'd like to break. You know, I don't know if a collar, maybe some kind of a helmet. Maybe something just shoots out of my screen sometimes. I like the smell idea. I think smells can be very, very off-putting.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I also think that the randomness of it, I'm consistently afraid. I don't know. Do you guys ever have this fear when you get into a car that has airbags Do you ever just kind of dwell on, what if this thing just pops out right now? Like, it doesn't take much.
I literally can't think about it. Because if I think about it, that's all I will think about. I mean, it's like if you think about, you know, maybe that's an obsession and compulsion kind of thing. But when I really think about airbags, I don't trust the automotive industry. Right. And the curtain ones, really?
Have you guys ever been in a car where the airbags have exploded?
I have not. No, have you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, one time. And it's real interesting what happens because all of a sudden the car interior has this extra part that you've never seen before. And it's not supposed to be there.
Wow. It's like your first car's first boner.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, wait a minute. Let me understand this. So there's some kind of little like Wii remote gyroscope thing that can – I've seen the you know, slowed down videos. You make an impact with something and in like far less than a second, mm-hmm. this thing blows up. So there's some kind of an apparatus in there that is acting in much quicker time than we could. So I'm just thinking, if that's possible, is there a way that it could spray something at you to let you know your role in the accident? Was it your fault? Is this something you need to work on?
That's really good. Or just smell-based driving in general. Like, that scent's really underutilized when you're behind the wheel. Like, you know, would it be nice if you could suggest to another driver that they hurry up without a honk? Maybe just a little tss.
Well, that's pretty good, and it would be one of those near-field magnet things where you could just, you know, from just right nearby. Or maybe somebody's falling asleep, and you get a little smell of like a Checkers burger that says, you know, it's just around the bend. There's a Stuckey's pecan log just waiting at the next exit.
Stuckey's pecan log.
Don't nod off.
I'm a nodder offer. Do you guys?
Oh, yes.
I hate to admit it.
I don't know. I have all kinds of techniques. Yeah. I have all kinds of techniques
like
to stay. Well,
you're talking about with driving in particular.
With driving, I go to sleep when I'm. It's just a problem I have. If I'm driving for more than 45 minutes, or if it's been a long day, and you know I have to drive at night, I will be sleepy in minutes, and I'll roll down windows. That doesn't work. I'll sing along to music. That doesn't work. The only thing that I've found that consistently works is a cup full of ice, and then I eat the ice and kind of crunch the ice. Mm. That is great. As long as there's ice, I'm fine on the road.
Where do you get ice?
I have an ice maker in the back of my Prius. Smart. You know, I'll stop at a 7-Eleven and just get a big gulp full of ice, which is free. So I will walk out head held high with a big gulp cup full of ice.
It's really smart.
And 45 lids.
I've had the same problem. I mean, I would way rather be drunk and driving than tired. It's very unsafe to drive when you're tired. I've tried it all. I mean, I've done the same things. And I've thought, you know, there's the people say, like, when you can't get to sleep at night, you should read a boring book. And so, like, I'll try everything. I'll flip to every radio station. I'll try country. I'll try Christian. I'll try whatever. It's like, I figure maybe if it makes me mad politically, that'll keep me awake.
Right.
I don't know. It's, you know, there's those things you can get also. You get the little drowsy thing. You can get this thing that looks like a Bluetooth you put on your ear. And if you go off axis again, if I could say, probably with a gyroscope, it knows that you're getting sleepy. And again, I don't think it shoots any smells, although I would like you to like maybe capture that. I think it makes a piercing noise that wakes you up while you're going down the road at 80 miles an hour. So you don't go veering off into the shoulder.
You know, I think what really we're circling around this topic, but we could really merge everything together in the form of something that basically looks like a Bluetooth headset or maybe a skateboard helmet. And it's digitally programmable to zip out any kinds of smells based on any kinds of behaviors, activities, or gyroscopic actions.
Absolutely. And it could come with a stock set of just what we would consider best practices in humanity, right? So, like, if you're mean to the waitress, maybe you get a little bit of fart smell in the face, right? But you could also program it based on your own, like, maladies and faults as a human
totally.
Being. Or maybe your spouse could program your helmet.
You could have lots of upgrades available for in-helmet purchase.
Right, like if you spend a little too long at the Japanese schoolgirl uniform store.
Right, right.
It sends an LTE signal to your ball tightener. I don't know. I got to say, you guys, I think habits are hard to start, and I think they're very hard to break.
Yeah,
and I'd be
yeah.
very open to a hardware system that would help me get online with that.
So instead of it being what I thought it originally would be, a very sort of understated little earpiece, and then thought maybe, okay, it should probably be a helmet. Now we're thinking it's almost a kind of space suit.
That's a complicated problem, Scott. There's not one citronella solution. I think it's a terrific idea.
Me too.
Hands in a derby.
Adam, congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, nice job.
Oh, thanks.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What a beautiful boy.
Oh, I know.
I wish there was a song about that because I would send that to you.
Just watching the wheels while you don't sleep ever again.
Yeah, you know, there's a little bit of that. Although, in fairness, and you guys know this, that the mother tends to have to do most of the work because she's the one with the milk supply.
Right, right.
I mean, I want to be a team player. I would love to divide the labor 50-50, but there's a part of me that just knows that I need to get up when she gets up, and I know that she's up, and there's nothing that I can do. I just need to be up.
You have to be there. You've got to be there. It's one of those things, like, you've just got to be alongside, or you really are kind of a dick.
Yeah, I can be up, or I can at least pretend to be up, and I can muster enough. Is everything? Are you good? You good? Okay, Dean, let's just let me know.
Please say you're good. Please.
Yeah. And as long as the effort is made, then I think I can go back to sleep. And she's been very good about letting me do some of that.
What if you were fitted with some kind of a ersatz brassiere? I'm just saying, I don't want to beat it into the ground, but maybe it would squirt a little bit of lukewarm breast milk at your face whenever you tried to have a moment to yourself. Just kind of bring it back into the situation, and your helmet would realize that and mark it down.
Just a little zip to let you know that you're not the man your father thought he was raising.
Hey, you're wearing a fucking bra.
That's right, it's a bra.
Explain this to me again. Why do I need to wear the bra?
All right, listen.
I'm going to Skype you a diagram.
Okay.
So imagine that you're wearing basically what Neil Armstrong wore when he was on the surface of the moon. On the outside of that is a comically large multicolored brassiere.
What, just for the indignity?
Yeah. I mean, it's all built into the space suit.
You're saying it looks like a quilt?
Do you guys, can I ask, you guys probably have had this experience as well. When your baby does what's called rooting, when he wants the breast,
oh, right.
Have you had that moment, that fleeting thought, I wonder, you know, because he doesn't know whether I'm his mama.
Right,
He doesn't care what the physiology is.
Yeah.
Just me.
No, well, no, I would no, definitely not at all. Put a finger in there. I put a finger in there to, like, get the, because that calms him.
Yeah.
And it was always the amount of, like, dedicated catfish-like suction was impressive. But I never went M to N.
There's no forethought in it at all. Like, catfish-like suction is exactly what it feels like. It does. It's just a mechanism that works on its own.
You guys have so much more exposure to catfish than I do. You know, I don't want to belabor this. I don't want to go bomb back. But I know, I just remember, barely remember, being so tired all the time. And let's be honest, I was doing almost none of the work. And yet I was constantly tired all the time. And I, you know, I'd piss on a spark plug, buddy. I would try anything. And in that case, let's be honest, with all due respect to your wife, sometimes the keg is empty and the kid just wants to come up and get a little bit of rooting. So I never tried it, but sure, I've thought of it.
Did you do it, Adam?
No, what are you? No.
I thought that was maybe a thing that, like, men do now.
That would be amazing. Just modern, like, a sort of a new age, touchy-feely.
I'd love to see a class in modern male nursing. Doctoring, I guess they'd call it.
First of all, I worry about the hair.
Your hair. Yeah, that is a different... Nobody likes that. The number of humans that don't like hair around the nipple has to include babies, too.
Well, maybe we can incorporate that into the suit. Maybe if you forget to shave a titty. No, I hate having hair in my mouth.
Oof. The first week or so, did you guys cry a lot?
Absolutely. I was, well, first of all, I want to apologize / needle you for the fact that you now have to join us in this sad, sad fraternity. But no, I mean, I think, like Scott, I did become much more unexpectedly, chaotically, disturbingly emotional after I had a kid. And here's the thing, is that, as you know from the extensive number of classes that I imagine you've taken, ladies get a big jolt of the hormones that make them want to keep the kid from jumping off a bridge. Mm-hmm. Guys get something like that, but in much lower doses and much shorter amounts of time. Don't you think? I mean, don't you think part of that must be the thing that makes you, you know, cry during Hallmark commercials?
I don't know about that. I don't know that I believe that there's.
Well, how's it, Adam? How's it expressing itself for you?
Well, it's not so much anymore because it's you know, he's almost 3 weeks old, and right now he's just a poop machine, and I think the sentimentality has worn off a little bit. But that the first few days, especially, I would just look at him and just like have a single, you know, weepy tear, and then would move on. But it was just really fun to like have feelings.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's a nice week.
It is a nice week, but I would not even consider passing that off as hormones because our bodies don't go through anything like the ravage that our ladies have gone through.
It's really, really horrifying to think about what a child does to a lady.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, we sometimes gain a little weight.
We certainly do. Oh, holy shit, do we?
No, I don't mean you. I mean...
No, like, we did.
Yeah.
All of us.
Did. All of us.
Diggy. The dogs. Diggy 2.
Your car.
Well, you know, they call it the Audi 15.
I'm a professional voice actor.
Our daughter would only sleep, like, right next to and on my wife, or with me holding her, with me standing. And so if my wife wanted to have a rare, like 4 minutes of not having a child literally on her breast, I would have to stand up and lean against the fireplace until the baby maybe went to sleep.
That is when it became a real, I don't want to say drag, but the work came into play in the couple months stage when, you know, we couldn't eat dinner together because our dumb baby had to be, like, held all the time, or else he would cry like a crazy person. So Tayshia would eat dinner, and then, you know, I would be holding him, and then I would eat dinner, and Tayshia would be holding him. Like, that realization setting in that, oh, there's no vacation from this. Or if there is, you're still kind of always thinking about them. That said, for me, I did not feel a thing about my children until... My son was 5, and we were walking down the street, and I think he's fine.
Not even anger?
Oh, plenty of anger, just no love.
Okay.
And then we were walking down the street, and we were holding hands, and I realized there's going to be a time when he doesn't want to hold hands with me anymore, and
come
that made
on.
Me sad.
Oh,
that
good Lord. Sad. Oh, I'm sorry. I need a moment.
I just got a ball shock.
I just gave you guys an emotional citronella blast. That was when it hit me that, you know, of course, we'll still have fun. But he's like, nah. When it's not just, I can't just like do this almost subconscious, like throw out my hand. Like I have to hold my hand 5 degrees out more than I usually do. And then his hand is just like in the pocket. And I know there's going to be a day, and it's probably a year and a half away, when he's like, I'm just going to go play baseball with my friends. You weird homo.
You're going to have to literally hold his hand.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be like, come on.
Well, this has become very real for me in the last month. And it's I have had to confront and accept the fact that I am no longer the source of a lot of her decision making and taste and everything. And it's been super hard for me.
You mean she's not as super into X-Men as she once was?
Truly. Truly. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. We got Uncanny X-Men 3 and she was nothing. Oh. She wanted to talk about her fiance.
Well, that's great though, isn't her? Because you've sent her in a direction.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. Now, you know, all that shit I've been saying for the last 5 years is absolutely working out great, and I'm heartbroken.
I'm just going to help her become her own person.
Now she's her own person, and I'm sad.
That's the worst.
I worry about, Scott, I remember one time I was staying with you guys on one of my visits up there, and I heard you through the open door singing your song that you sing to your son when you tuck him in at night.
You're a bad person.
No, I remember the song, but I want you to sing it to me before the end of the show, but I remember thinking how just beautiful and sweet it was and wonderful. And now I'm thinking, and both of Roxana and I are thinking, you know, we're wondering what our songs are going to be for Linus. And we sing him a lot of songs, but they're all just impromptu, bullshitty songs at this point. They're just made up melodies, they're very simplistic. Please stop crying is the mm-hmm. lyrics, and then it's to the tune of Twinkle Twinkle or something. But the most disturbing part for me is when we're doing something that he clearly hates, like changing him, and he's screaming, and we're singing a happy song, and there's this weird kind of like Clockwork Orange style correlation going on between something he hates and something ostensibly he's supposed to love, which is music, and I'm afraid that I'm establishing some sort of negative association with that. But that doesn't happen, right? It just seems morbid to be like singing a happy song while he's experiencing literally the worst trauma of his entire life.
But don't you think about that a lot, though, Adam? I mean, hopefully Scott and I prepared a little bit before the show to help walk you through some of the things you should and shouldn't worry about.
We did.
But you're thinking maybe the Ludovico technique is going to take, and you're going to imprint this one thing. Let me just put you at ease that the songs that you sing that will stick will be really fucking stupid.
I love that aspect of having a child is kind of the beginning of a family language, too, mm-hmm. when you start to really create words, and when they start to speak too is when, you know, they help create words, and then you develop, especially in our case, like just because I happen to be somebody who can't just call a fork, like I have to come up with something stupid.
A forkerino, a
forky-loo.
I want to develop our own language quite literally, like a scat type of language, because I really I enjoy jazz scat singing, and I want my kid to embrace it as well. And I feel like as long as by age maybe 5 or 6, as long as he can pretty fluidly run off a, you know, a chorus or two.
You want to make a scatter?
I do. Is that all right? I mean, I want him to be a prodigy level.
I got to say, Adam, I think scatting is a lot harder than it seems. I've tried, mm-hmm. and I feel like I've never gotten it right. I could see you being a great scatter.
Yeah.
I actually, our neighbors are raising their children bilingually. The mother speaks English, and the father speaks only scat.
Doesn't that lead them to be late talkers and late readers? I mean, except in scat, I mean, it's a kind of a patois.
Surprisingly, it doesn't. You'd be surprised. their acquisition of both an actual language and some bullshit jazz thing ends up being, by the time they're 4 or 5, as complete as somebody who just learns one legitimate language.
Do they go to a scat school?
They go. It's a scat immersion school.
So it's totally immersive. You show up and they start, you show up for the first day, you walk in, you get in your little tiny chair, and they're like, bop, zip, bop, zim, bop, zibbity, bop.
Here's the thing, like immersion schools in general, you're not just learning scat, you're learning physics in scat, you're learning Spanish in scat, you're learning lunch in scat. Like everything is conducted in scat.
Scat Academy.
Oh, God.
Did you have a question for the sandwich?
What else have you been working on, Adam? So you've also had a little bit of time at home. Have you been able to effectively step away from your work?
Kind of. I'm taking a month. I'm giving myself a month to not go to the office. And I brought my work computer home, and as I have it set up at home, I'm doing too much work still, but... And I'm feel a little bit guilty about that, but it's generally been a good break, and it's always better that I'm here than leaving the family alone. I don't want to do that.
Right, right. That's true. That's not. I mean, it's also nice because every morning, your employees Claude and JP put on their button-down Oxford shirts and socks and underwear and sunglasses. And they do a synchronized rendition of what was it? Old time rock and roll. What was it?
Yeah,
Risky Business.
I think that's what it was. Dun, 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 dun. I think so. Just take those old records off the shelf. Rebecca De Mornay, am I right? I do believe she was my first sexual thought in that movie.
With or without braids?
I don't remember.
Didn't she have some kind of like a cornrow braid thing going on?
Yeah, in one of the minor scenes, definitely.
She seems like somebody who would work at a Dairy Queen that I would go way out of my way to go to.
a real Diane from Jack and Diane. Sucking on chili dough,
outside taste freeze. Let it rock, let it roll. So let it rock, let it roll. Here's the thing, Adam, and you're just entering into one of the most painful, brutal phases. Like, I don't know if you have this, Scott, but there's that thing where, like, the first day, oh my God, everybody is going to fucking collapse on the whole calamity of the child. They're helping out. They're doing everything. What else can I do? Can I do anything? Can I make your bed? Can I paint your lounge?
Like freezer full of meatloaf.
Oh, are you kidding me? Your casserole's out the ass. And then by day three, it has settled into, like, your family is around way too fucking much. And that's great for a while because they'll water the plants and shock the dogs. But then something happens after the first week. There's like a, whatever the opposite of a hockey stick is, you know, I guess football. And suddenly it all tapers off. And by 2 weeks, you are fucking on your own. The laundry is dirty. The poop is everywhere. And you realize that you are like existentially alone. Did you guys get that at all? I mean, like the interest in your child becomes increasingly abstract to everybody but you.
I got to come clean. Our child is really disproportionately manageable, and was especially for the first 2 weeks. He was just sleeping a lot and looking cute, and he would sort of squirm a little bit when he was hungry, and we were mostly getting pretty, you know, okay sleep. Still waking up every few hours for feeding. And so our family was very confused by this. And we have both of our sets of parents are, you know, 45 minutes away from us. And so everybody is in that mode right away of, this is going to be horrible. We have to be here for emergency response. And then, you know, very quickly, within a couple of days, everybody kind of was like, what do we do now? And then just went home. So that's kind of where we are now. And we just sort of embrace the time alone. So it's a little bit of a sensitive subject.
Hmm. Well, sounds like a pretty good resolution, though, because since they're close, they didn't have to go far. They didn't have a plane to get back to, you know, Fort Lauderdale that they had to wait 2 weeks for or something.
Yeah.
God, if only.
Yeah.
That is, I know. That's probably, in all honesty, that's probably the biggest, giganticest thing that I would say would have changed our parenting experience would have been if we had had reliable parents or close family nearby, at least relatively nearby, to help out. Boy, that just would have, like, we had nothing. Mm. And so, you know, we didn't do anything, and, you know, we didn't really go out. And
but you become so self-sufficient, that's a thing.
That's a thing, I guess, yeah. But I remain jealous of people who have family close who can just be like, yeah, we took our kids two doors down to my sister's house tonight,
yeah,
so that we could go on our weekly date.
I bet you earn that back a lot over the next few years, though. I mean, first of all, I totally agree. I for the first time in my life, I wish I'd burned way fewer bridges with the people that I loved, because I really could have used somebody there to hold the fucking kid for a minute. Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. You know, like seriously, I mean, it was nonstop. But you know, but don't you think in some ways, like, now you're kind of part of the system? You know, now, I mean, the other thing you can look forward to, Adam, this is really, really fun, is that you'll never have a vacation again because you've got to take your little Gunter somewhere that's got to go, like, it's got, oh, we have grandma's and got the lumbago, one last chance. And it's like every goddamn holiday, you're never going to go to Disney World. Mm. You're going to go to far-flung locations as far as 45 minutes from your house, where you're going to have to sit around in a sweater, you know, watching TBS.
Yeah, taking home stuff wrapped in tinfoil.
You have family in Canada. That must be rough.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different thing, because obviously if the baby doesn't pass a certain complex and inscrutable series of tests, they'll eat the baby. And so that was a worry.
Is that a part of the culture, or is that like the Queen's Law, or how does that work?
It's a Commonwealth thing adapted for the rugged terrain of the rugged and Arctic terrain of Canada.
So it's like a First Americans. What do they call them? What do they call them? First Nations?
It's like a First Nations meets English class brutality.
Right. It's like witch dunking. You hit them with a totem pole and see if poutine comes out. I just remember a constant sense of peril that now I just don't fucking care. But I just remember constantly feeling, you know, there's going to be a Clapton situation or there's going to be something coming along that I never would have expected. Mm. I start having like some kind of Marquez like I don't know, like magical thinking about what this refrigerator could do if it fell in this certain way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just like I spend way too much time in my car thinking about what if the airbags went off. I think of similar improbable scenarios that, you know, would happen, and it goes away because you know, you stop loving them as much.
Yeah. You have to. I mean, you got to stay alive. It would be so nice. There's such a fine distinction between like a worrier and an obsessor. Because I wish I were just a worrier, because my child would be so better cared for. But instead, I'm an obsessor, which means it's like all about my own concerns. Do you know what I mean? A worrier yeah. would go like, let's go to the store and maybe proof all the things for poison are. And we'd be okay. all set.
Okay, Sling Blade.
You got any biscuits for sale in there?
Adam, have you had any deeply misguided impulses to create something for your child, like a book or a song?
No, but I was what I was doing for the first week or so was that I had the impulse to collect everything that was coming into my baby's life, like his first everything. We were at the hospital for a couple of days after he was born, and I took a break and went to McDonald's, and I saved the fucking receipt.
That's so fucking cool. That is the best. That is
you know,
best.
That goes in the baby book, and I don't feel like we're going to save a lot of real artifacts, like real physical artifacts for the baby book, so I've got to choose them wisely. And I looked at when we went to the first pediatrician appointment 5 days in or something. I was looking around the pediatrician's office for things to collect, and I saw
souvenirs.
I saw the sharps container on the wall, and I wanted to grab that.
That's so cool. I almost think you'll end up creating like the coolest baby book ever, because it will be that. It will be these like weirdly orthogonal objects.
Scott, I could see Adam making an entire emotional city.
Like just basically something you could almost retreat to and live in.
Well, I'm thinking like if imagine that you take all of the completely unnecessary souvenirs of a really overinflated emotional relationship and you put it on a map-like space in three dimensions, kind of like a train track that a lonely guy would have. But let's be honest, but you've got some receipts, you've probably got little bits of poo, you know, baby's first shock collar, and it all gets placed in as many as 3 to 5 dimensions on something like a train track.
Oh, I like that idea.
That's weird.
If it's any consolation, Adam, you will start caring a lot less.
Oh, I know.
And
I already
see
have.
This. If I got, no. yeah, good for you. If I could see the number of photos I've taken on a graph, I would not want to see the number of photos I've taken on a graph, because I was taking about 111 raw photos a day for the first week, and now I take a photo every quarter.
For the first time, somebody asked me to show them a picture of my kids. I instinctively took out my iPhone and went to the, you know, camera, like things that I've taken on my camera that still are on my camera.
So embarrassing.
Batch. And there were just like, let's say upwards of 200 pictures of funny signs and friends. And like zero of my children.
Hey, check it out. Here's a sign in the park with bad kerning.
Yeah, here's a picture of a turkey with thumbs. I thought that was pretty funny, so I took a picture of it. I don't know. I'm going to have to go back to my computer to find some of my kids.
And finally,
how do you chart? Do you do anything like systematic to chart their growth, like a pencil marking on the doorway? Like I've seen a couple of my friends take a picture of their kid as it grows with an iPhone next to it, where it says how old the kid is.
Oh, that's, yeah, our friends do that, and it's really cute. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what about that everyday thing? Are you doing that?
No, we haven't done that yet. I mean, we definitely take an everyday style picture of his face.
A little bit late now.
Yeah, fair enough. You should probably just have another baby and start with them.
We made one mark on a wall just because it's a rental, and then we just make Sharpie marks on her just for context. And we make her hold up a quarter in the same place every time just for scale.
You put a Sharpie mark on the top of her head every year.
I mean, you know, she's a growing kid, but yeah. But yeah, I mean, context is everything when you have a child.
Make her hold a quarter. That's what we do too. We just have him hold a pencil, so everywhere you go, everywhere he goes, you realize, you know, how big he is relative to the pencil. I'll stop talking.
What else you got? What's on the list of 300?
Let me just. I've got a short list here, Scott. And based on our previous offline, feel free to jump in. First of all, you will fucking destroy the child. You will scar it in ways that will not become apparent. I'm still seeing the little breadcrumb trail of like bad decisions that I've made. So I would just say, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just don't worry about it. Just be yourself.
Okay.
Be a little bit better than yourself.
This has been You Look Nice Today, featuring Lonely Sandwich, Scott Simpson, and Hot Dogs Ladies. Thank you.
Don't be the bad parts of yourself.
Yeah. I want to be a hero.
Doesn't it make you want to like, don't you have that sense, though, of you want to make this impression where they go like, I have a first memory of my father was that he was being noble and helping 11 homeless men who were veterans. And it's like, she's going to remember me like freaking out because she accidentally tore a page out of an Avengers comic or something. Like that's, you never know, right? Again, moments snap together like magnets. We have no control. Like I remember my first memories, the first memories that I'm pretty sure are of things that actually happened started around 4 or probably 5 for me. Like, what about you guys? Do you have senses of like when you first actually remembered what you're pretty sure is real stuff?
3.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You're an artist.
That's very,
seriously.
Yeah,
like,
that's cool.
And if you can share it, do you remember?
Yeah, like objects and toys that I would play with, and getting in an argument with my nursery school teacher.
Oh,
wow! That the juice box and stuff.
Yeah, at Scat school.
Well, no, some words are imported from other languages because there isn't a word in Scat for every single thing.
There are 27 words for juice box.
That's right.
Most of them mean heroin, though.
Yeah.
Could you put a straw in my juice box? That's big in Vancouver. What about you, Scott? How have you fucked up your kids?
God.
I mean, well, just give me a couple quick ones.
I have to tell, for the purposes of this story, I used to work at Apple.
Boop.
And yeah, that's right. The boop is perfect. Okay. So for the purposes of this story, I didn't. You know, you guys know I didn't work at a paper company. I worked at Apple. And the other day, my son said to me, he goes, Dad, I really want to follow in your footsteps. I was like, oh, chase your dream and become a comedian? And he goes, no, I want to work at Apple.
Oh, wow.
It was great. It was so good. He tells me every day how much worse it is now than it used to be, because I used to work in an office with whiteboards and free Coke Zero, and now I just leave every night.
You should have berated him by saying, if you really wanted to work at Apple, you wouldn't talk about it.
That's right.
That is so sweet, Scott.
Do you explain to him what you're doing now instead of working at Apple?
You know, it's hard because he's very aware. He's in second grade. Mm-hmm. And so he knows about how things work. And he's like, you're going out. And fortunately, I do enough like shows that I can say, hey, I got a big show. But I can't. It's not like I make music. Mm-hmm. Like I tell jokes about him and dicks. So where's the share? Like I can't, like, taking your child to work day is illegal.
You like pop a cassette in and like you fast forward.
Yeah, like there's nothing that I can share with him or my daughter of my current work. They just know that Dad's confused.
Can you imagine any of the three of us on career day? You know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
For anybody of our generation, you walk in and go, oh, I'm a fucking plumber. I make shit get out of your house. It's super simple, kids.
I have a joke that never goes over as well as I want it to, which is I keep trying to get asked to my kids' career day, but apparently, according to the teacher, just figuring stuff out for a while isn't an actual job.
You should workshop that one a little more.
I think I workshopped it into the garbage can.
No, there's a joke there.
There's a joke there. I realize that I'm pretty sure somebody sells weed or transports weed or delivers weed for a living. And I realize that like I can't really explain my job that much better than he can. Like at least his has some kind of a sense of closure to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like dick jokes on the internet is at the end of the day going to be harder to explain than I bring weed to losers.
Right.
Not to be too earnest, guys, with you, but you're so stupid because, I mean, you guys both have kids that are of story time age, and kids understand nothing better than story time. And you both tell stories for a living, you retards.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that is good because it does make it fun. And almost, I was going to say it almost makes me feel like a peer with my children.
Yeah, storytelling's complicated. And I mean, like, there's constantly, like, the influence of, you know, other people and Avatar. And, you know, it's a real clouded vision. Adam, you're going to have so much fun, like, in a really annoying way. It's going to be so much fun. You've got to be great at it. Do you have a sense internally, like, in the same way that you have that just deep sexual musk?
Right.
Do you
right.
have that same kind of innate quality with your children? Like, with by which I mean your dogs? And your offspring?
Well, there's no real measure of success yet because he won't even make eye contact with me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's weird that you look at your kids and see yourself. I think, Merlin, Ellie is more like a visual hybrid of you and your wife. And I think, Scott, probably it's a little bit harder for you.
My boy looks like Brezhnev. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a little bit the same way. Where he's just very, very white right now. And
complected?
Yes. Yeah. He's just very light skinned and light hair. And it's funny. He doesn't look like he came from me and Roxana at all. Certainly not her. I mean, he's a mixed race baby, but he does not look like it. He's lily white, like an Irish
person. He's teeny tiny. He's got, it'll come out.
Yeah.
That beard will come in real nice soon.